If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me, see if any of y'all know right where I am. 23rd Division of Psalms. Amen. Y'all pray real hard. Before Thanksgiving, we will be out of the 23rd Division of Psalms, and we will be in the 24th. No. There's just a couple of more things to discuss in this, but the psalmist gives us a great outline of human relationship with Christ. Jesus himself said, I am the good shepherd. So therefore, we are the sheep of his pasture, and he is our shepherd. And what a way to discuss than to take a shepherd's look at Psalms 23 and say, hey, this is what this really is talking about. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, for he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Glory. Isn't it awesome? Now, last week we talked about I will not fear, for thou art with me. Church, isn't that an awesome thing to think about? The one thing we got going for us that the rest of the world don't have is he's with us. Amen. I got to go through the same things they got to go through, but I'm not by myself. He's with me. Amen. And that makes it a whole lot different. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but the night they were in the ship and the sea was coming into the water, was getting in the boat, those guys got upset, woke him up. But wouldn't you rather have been in a boat with him asleep than in one of them other boats that didn't have him in there? Because all them other boats was getting swamped just like he is. Only when they got him awake, he stopped the swades, he stopped the wind, and everything kind of settled down. And church, what we've got to realize is that's the only hope we've got in this world. That when everything goes wrong, God's going to step up and say, wait a minute, I got to take care of them. These are my children. I'm going to provide for them. I'm going to care for them. I'm going to love them because they're my people. Amen. Hallelujah. And I pointed out to you that the very thing that he uses to correct us with and to guide us with becomes the very instrument that also takes care of us. Amen. Glory. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against it. Isn't that awesome? Glory. Then notice what it said. He prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. When the table spread, amen. You've just come back from straying. You've just come from a dark valley. You've just escaped from death's shadow. You get the opposite of punishment, but you get the grace of God. Amen. Isn't it awesome? I don't know about y'all, but when I done something wrong, I came home. I didn't want nobody to know about it because I knew what was coming. I know kids today don't understand it. My dad didn't know what child abuse was. He called it correction. That guy up there in Minnesota, because he left a stripe on his son's leg, my dad left bruises on mine. Like, he'd come tell me stuff like, I'm going to wait till I'm not mad. Like that razor strap wasn't going to hurt when he wasn't mad. He swung from back here. I don't know what he'd done if he'd been mad. He probably jumped off the building, get a little more leverage. I don't know, but... But even at all that, I'd rather him whoop me than my mama, because she just whatever was handy, and she didn't care if she was mad or not. I woke up in the backyard one day after mouthing off to her. I walked by, and she said something. I was 18 years old. I was a man. I woke up out in the yard, water hit me. I rolled over. My daddy said, boy, I told you not to fool with that woman. What'd you do? I said, I told her I wasn't going to listen to her. He said, you know you got to go to that tack room. That meant he's going to whip me with a razor strap. I got a knot across the back of my head because she hit me with a broom, knocked me through a screen door. That wasn't child abuse. That was correction. I can tell you this, I never mouthed off at her no more. Especially if she had a broom. smile. Listen, why did he prepare a table before you? Because he wanted you to understand, you're not getting a picnic. Picnics are just temporary. He wanted you to know there was going to be a table there so that the food would be spread for you to eat. Come on, church. You want a TV table because that's just for one person. You ever notice we've gotten so bad we got to go set the TV and eat, and we don't ever get the table and eat together anymore? I mean, I heard one guy make the statement was really good. He said, yeah, when I was a kid and they hollered dinner, we all run out the table. So now you holler dinner, they go get in the car. It's not a snack, because snack's something you can eat standing up or moving. But look, he sets a table because that's a place you can rest from a long walk. You can have fellowship to enjoy the table with others. You have choices. A table means lots of food with lots of different kinds of stuff on it. And God wants you to understand, when you come to my table, you're there, and you're there to receive blessings. And if you get to that table, it doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done. He said, I will restore unto you the very things you've wasted, the very things you've lost. Amen. Joel said it. He said, I'm going to do it to the point that your threshing floor is going to overflow. Your vats are going to overflow. What are you saying? God said, hey, when you become my child, you get to my table. And when you get to his table, everybody's the same. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? You ever notice, y'all remember the story of the young man by the name of Mephibosheth? He was the only person left that was of the house of Saul, who was Jonathan's son, that somehow David didn't even know exist, even though Jonathan and David were real close friends. And Mephibosheth was lame on both his feet. And they sent a man after him, and he brought him back. And Mephibosheth actually looked at David and said, why would you look on such a dead man as I am? I've got nothing going for me. Do any of y'all remember when you got saved? Now, I know some of you were born with a golden spoon in your mouth. You've been in church all your life. You've never done nothing wrong. You've just been, oh, God's gift to the world ever since you've been here. But some of us have not been that way. Some of us remember what it's like to stand in church thinking I'm nothing but a dead piece of junk that nobody ought to put their hand on. And God turned around and said, hey, from now on, he's my child. From now on, he sits at my table. From now on, he eats my food. From now on, he's one of my own. Glory. You read the story of the Syrophoenician woman, of the woman with the issue of blood. And every one of them, God spoke to them. And the last thing he would say to them, you ever notice the lady with the issue of blood? We don't know where she came from. We don't know how she got there. We don't know nothing about her background. Just know she'd been sick for many years. She spent all of her money, tried every medicine she could think of. And finally she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. You ever notice that when God finally confronts her, you ever notice what he says to her? He said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Somebody, see, some of y'all missed that. You read it and don't even catch it. So what happened? He just adopted her. It doesn't matter. She didn't have a background or a pedigree. Didn't know where she came from, how she got there. From then on, she's daughter. She's somebody because he called her daughter. She becomes somebody because she's engrafted into the family. I am not who I am because I go to church. I am who I am because I've been adopted into the family. And now I am part of the royal blood of God. And I sit at his table and eat with everyone. See, Mephibosheth may have been lame. He had a lot of problems. But when he sat at that table, nobody could see anything wrong with him. He was like everybody else at the table. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, church. Some of y'all missed that. Oh, what are you talking about? Oh, listen, I was a drug addict, alcoholic. I was a misfit. God saved me. And when people see me now, I'm just one of the crowd. Hallelujah. Glory. Why? Because God put me at the table. He prepared that table for me. And he said, sit down, son. From now on, you're one of my people. Glory. Hallelujah. Y'all need to catch that. Amen. Listen. Who prepares the table? He did it. Glory. The shepherd finds the green pastures for the sheep to feed in. He don't wait on somebody else to go do it. That's his personal job because he wants to see to it his sheep are fed better than anybody else's. Amen. He does it without the valley of shadows. He said, give me this day my daily bread. It's good to know that you have bread maker rather than a warehouse full of stale bread. My God cooks fresh bread every day. I don't have to wait to see if he's got something. Come on, church. Amen. Y'all ever had stale bread? Huh? I remember one time somebody gave us bread to give out at the food bank. And you got to understand, when we're at the food bank, things get a little crazy. And that's some long bread. Connie picked a piece up, and I got a piece. Next thing you know, they became lightsabers. And it was all right till she hit the wall and the bread didn't break. When she hit that wall and that bread didn't break, I said, we got to throw this away. We can't give that to nobody. You can't eat bread you can't break on a wall. I had to make sure the wall didn't get busted. Glory. I don't know about y'all, but the worst thing could ever happen would be if I had to eat bread that was 4 or 5 days old. I mean, let's face it. When I was a kid, we had bread. After a day or two, Mama broke it up and made pudding. You didn't eat bread 4 or 5 days old. You always had fresh bread. That's the way I was taught. And you know what? I like it because God prepareth a bread for me every day. I get fresh bread, fresh manna from heaven, something I can feed on because he loves me. He prepares that table. Come on, church. That's good stuff. Glory. God's the chef. He doesn't depend on an angel, a prophet, or somebody else to cook for me. How does he prepare it repeatedly? Notice the Bible said he prepares a table. That means it's a continuous process. Glory. I don't know about y'all, but when I was a kid, Mama cooked. When she got through her breakfast, she cleaned up, started cooking lunch. Oh, I'm sorry. Dinner. Some of us, it was lunch because we eat it in the field. Then she cooked supper. And if you don't know what supper is, you're from the north. This guy told me one day, I eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I said, I eat breakfast, dinner, and supper, and I eat lunch when I'm not at the table. Lunch is what you take to work in a pail or a sack. Come on, church. He prepares it fresh for me. He never quits. He's constantly at the table so that when I'm hungry, he said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? For they are the ones that are going to be filled. Could you say amen? The table's always ready. It's always personal. You ever notice that sometimes you go and you just have to eat what they got? Do you know one of the most successful restaurants in New York is called Two Jacks in the French Quarter? And when you go there, you eat whatever's on the menu because they have one thing every day, and they cook that one meat and the vegetables that go with it. And you don't go in order. You say, I want the special. That's it. I had a guy tell me, and said, well, what kind of restaurant's that? And I said, I don't know, but it's the oldest one down here. It's been here for over 125 years, operating just like it's doing. And people eat here every day because it's good food, and they ain't picky. When I was a kid, Mama didn't come in and go, why are you going for supper, sweetheart? They was 8 young, and she wasn't about to ask that. She had got 8 flavors. She just cooked. Daddy always said, take what you want, but eat what you take, because we ain't wasting nothing. So if you had a plate with something left on it, you didn't get up. You ate it. Why, if you're around me, I clean my plate. I was taught to do that. My daddy said that one day, well, my brother's going to leave something on his plate. Dad said, there's kids in China starving. He said, mail them to them. That didn't go over big. Sometimes you get wise. I knew every Sunday we were going to have chicken because we killed them. We'd cook 4 chickens, and I got smart. I said, Mama, I like them pulley bones. So she would cook the pulley bones and put them on my plate. See, I didn't like the pulley bones no more than I did some of the rest of it. It's just I didn't have to fight for the pulley bones. They was on my plate. Glory. I don't know if you understand that, but that chicken wouldn't make two rounds around that table. It's gone. Hello? So I got smart. I was the youngest of the bunch. I couldn't fight with them over chicken, so I like the pulley bones. Glory. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? They prepare a table that's personally fixed for me so that when I walk in there and sit down, I don't have to walk in there and say, hey, I want this, I want that, I want the other. It's always there, ready, prepared, fresh. I'd go in, I don't even have to look at a menu. Come on, church. Glory. Why? Because the shepherd knows the sheep. He knows what we have need of. Come on, church. Amen. Now, this is sad, but I had a friend, Brother Pat Schatzline, and he was pastor of Daystar Assembly of God in Northport. And Brother Pat and I went out to eat once or twice a week, and there was a little restaurant we went to quite often. And we would go in with other people and sit down, and neither one of us ever said a word. But they knew what we wanted to drink. They knew what we were going to eat. I don't know if y'all like this, but if I go to certain restaurants, my wife could order for me because she knows I'm going to get the same thing at that restaurant. So that's the way I am. And I'd go in. They never asked us the question. One guy said, well, aren't y'all going to order? Brother Chastain said, we don't have to. And yeah, sure enough, they bring us a cheeseburger with grilled onions on it. And that guy said, well, I didn't get grilled onions. He said, you have to tell them. They said, well, you didn't say a word. He said, well, first time we did. Ever since then, they don't ask. They just bring us the Diet Coke in a pitcher because they knew we was going to drink at least one. Why? Because they knew us. They were familiar with us. God knows who we are. He knows what we have need of, and he provides that we have at the table. He's continually preparing it. Come on, church. Amen. A good God prepares good food. What's your favorite meat? Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who love him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusts in him. That's what David wrote in Psalms 34. He said, I tasted God and he was good. You say, what are you talking about? I believe God prepares a table for us. It's called his word. And if we'll participate in this word every day, he'll provide our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Could you say amen? John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Psalm said it this way, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. Satisfaction guaranteed, folks. If you hunger for him, he'll fill you. If you desire him, he'll fill you. Come on, church. Amen. The presence. Listen, if you don't have enemies, you ain't going to eat good, though. He said, I'm going to prepare a table before you in the very presence of your enemies. See, some folks, they just want everybody to love them, everybody to like them. But you don't get much to eat when everybody loves and likes you because you ain't got no enemies around for them to impress. Come on, church, smile at me. Somebody said, what are you talking about? All those haters that keep thinking you can't do anything. Amen. Those haters that don't want to see you blessed. Come on, church. Those people all the time saying, well, it ain't never going to amount to nothing. And then all of a sudden you something. Why? Because God said, I'm going to do something with him just to show them glory. Hallelujah. Because I don't know about y'all, but God's just like me. I like for my kids to be successful so I can brag about them. Come on, church, and none of y'all look at me and say, not me, because I done listened to some of your stories. We can have a kid strike out three times, get one hit, and all we can talk about is that hit. We don't care about them three strikeouts. Boy, he smacked that ball, knocked it right past the second baseman. Glory. Hello? Come on, church, why? Because that's our kid. We want to brag on him. And we do it like he said. He does it for his sake, not our sake. He blesses us for his sake. When he prepares that table before us in the presence of our enemies, he's feeding us, taking care of us, and providing for us because he wants the devil to know that's mine. You leave him alone, I'm taking care of him. He's on my side, and while he's on my side, I will provide, I will take care of him, I will do for him because I want you to know I'm better than anything you can throw his way. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, you believe that? The devil tried Job, took everything he had. When he got through, God gave him twice as much as he ever had. Why? Because God said, I'll bless him, because he didn't fall when you took him down. Somebody said, you about squeezed that orange out? Well, I'm getting close. See, God prepares a table because he won't show you enemies, but he also wants you to celebrate a victory. When you sit at the table of God, it's always a victorious meal. Come on, church. I don't know about y'all, but I remember in high school, we ate after the game according to how the game went. We got back to school, the boosters always cooked for us. We had hamburgers and hot dogs, good stuff, if we won. If we got beat, they opened pork and beans and gave them to us. There was a little inspiration in that. I don't know if y'all understand it, but I'm not big on pork and beans. Come on, church. For the peace of mind that knowing God's going to take care of it. Church, some of us, we worry about stuff we don't need to worry about. If you're really in God's will, God will take care of it. God will provide. Listen, he goes on and said, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Whew. Amen. Listen, the word Messiah, the word anoint in the Old Testament Hebrew word for Messiah is to deliverer, to be our deliverer. In the New Testament, the Greek word for Christ also gives a threefold anointed office. First, he's prophet. He's the word of God. Secondly, he's priest. He did the work of redemption. Thirdly, he's king because he came forth from the grave to rule and reign forever and forever and forever. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise God. But you see, he was anointed prophet. He was anointed priest. He was anointed king. Amen. And you know, church, the reality is he was anointed, and he said, he anoints my head with oil. Amen. David understood what anointing was. See, we think anointing, you get a little oil on your finger and you smear it on somebody's head, and that's anointing. In David's day, when somebody was anointed, they used a hin of oil. That's nearly 10 quarts. And they would pour it on the top of their head, and it would run all over their body. And the Bible said it even run off the skirt of Aaron's garment while he was standing there. When David was anointed king, they poured so much oil on that boy, he was slick for weeks. Amen. Because he understood, I'm being anointed to do a job. And I want to tell you something. God doesn't just give us a little dab of do you. But when God anoints us, he gives us an anointing that moves in our life to turn a world upside down, to let them know there is a God who can do great things in your life if you'll just let him go in you. The anointing has threefold meaning. Number one, to honor. A respected guest is given the best seat of honor, and then oil is placed on his feet. It's to heal. Oil was a medicine for those who was wounds in the valley, and to set you apart for service, like when they were anointed to be king or priest. See, the anointing of God is important in our lives, and I'm not going to preach much longer, but according to my watch, it's just 11 o'clock. Oh, I was supposed to change it, wasn't I? Glory. I went too far. I got excited. I'm on daylight savings. If I could have just got all y'all on it, I'd really have it made. Glory. Thou anointest my head with oil. Church, we sometimes forget the greatest reason for the anointing. There are people around us dying and going to hell, and most of us are so worried about shouting and carrying on, we forget about them dying and going to hell. And the only reason we can come in here and shout is because we've been reaching those people. It's all about getting somebody saved. It's about moving somebody into the kingdom so that they can sit at the table with us. Come on, church. And I've had people tell me about all the stuff they do to get somebody saved. Listen, you don't know what you got to do to get somebody saved. Just this week, we were talking about things that happened to us in the past, and I was reminded of something that happened to me. And Frieda and I had not been married long, and I was going through Norport one night with a young man in the car with me from Buell, and I pulled in the service station to get gas, and I was sitting there putting gas in the car, and all of a sudden, I got stood up. Seriously. I never saw it coming. I'm bent down over the car, and all of a sudden, whoa! And I go back, this guy just walked on and boom. He hit me so hard it blacked both of my eyes. I ain't sure it didn't happen right then, because when I got straightened up beside the car, all I saw was a blur, and I could feel something coming. He was so drunk he couldn't hit me. He had me pinned against the car, couldn't hit me again. And I was dodging, and all of a sudden the guy with him ran out and said, "Hey, that ain't the guy we're looking for." They jumped in their motorhome and took off down the road. The guy in the service station come running out and he said, "I was going to help you." I don't know if y'all understand that or not, but after the fact, it was a little late. I was standing there, blood running out both sides of my nose, and about that time, the police car pulled up and said, "We got him." He just turned left. I went down by the police station, and I signed a document. I never saw the guys. I didn't even know what the guy looked like. Because when I got up to where I could see him, they were 7 or 8 of them. Even though they wasn't but one. And I didn't have a clear picture of what he looked like. I just knew somebody just hit me. I never forget, I got a phone call the next day. It just so happened this young man's uncle was my Sunday school teacher at the Nazarene Church in Holt when I was in my Nazarene phase. Come on, church, I'm not going to play. I'm Baptist, Methodist, Nazarene, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Catholic. I've been all in churches. I joined them. I've been dipped, anointed, sprinkled. I'm Nazarene at that particular time. He called me and he said, "I need to talk to you." He said, "My nephew made a bad mistake the other night." He said, "But it's going to ruin his life if he's found guilty." So what are you talking about? And he said, "Well, he has a charter plane service." And said, "He'll lose his license if he's found guilty of what he did." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." And he said, "You don't owe me nothing." But he said, "I thought I'd call and appeal to your goodness and just ask you, could you let him go?" I got to thinking about it, and the next day I get a phone call from Judge Harwood. He said, "Ken, I understand you got a call last night from his uncle, Jimmy." I said, "You know Jimmy?" He said, "Yes." I said, "I knew him when he worked at Gulf State Paper, just like your dad did." He said, "He talked to you about dropping the charges on this boy." He said, "Now, you may not owe him nothing, but you owe me." He said, "Think about all the times I could have done something to you. I let you go." I said, "Judge, can we give him a light sentence?" He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I'll take care of it." I called Jimmy, said, "Tell your nephew to call me." I got him on the phone. I said, "Son, here's the deal. You're supposed to go to court in 3 weeks on Monday." He said, "Yeah." I said, "You go to church with your uncle for the next 2 Sundays. If you make Sunday morning and Sunday night service those 2 Sundays on Monday morning, Dr. Judge Harwood will drop the charges because I'll tell him to." He said, "That's all I got to do." I said, "That's all you got to do. Go to church with your uncle. And he'll contact me and let me know you're there or not. If you make 4 church services at that church, I'll turn you loose on Monday." Two days later, he come up on the job. First time I ever seen him. First time he'd ever seen me. You know how God works? He can really impress people. We were putting beams up in a house, and I was on top of a ladder holding a 12 by 12 beam up. It wasn't real, but it looked like it was. And he come walking in that building, saw me holding that, and he was like. I crawled down off the ladder and walked outside, and he said, "I want to thank you for what you've done. I'm going to church." I said, "Okay." He said, you know, I'm sorry, but I thought you was a fellow we've been looking for, and I was going to whoop him. I said, you done a good job for the start. He said, my uncle tells me I better be glad I was a couple of years late getting to you. I said, why is that? And he said, my uncle said, you're a pretty mean fella. I said, there was a time in my life, son, that I wouldn't let the cops come looking for you. I would have. And it would have been ugly. One of us would have got hurt bad. And he looked at me and he said, what happened? I said, I got saved. I prayed with him in the parking lot that afternoon. The next Sunday night, I get a call from his uncle. And he said, my nephew was at the altar. And he gave his heart to God. I had preachers saying, you should have whooped him. Preachers. Church people telling me, boy, what kind of man are you to let a fella hit you like that and not take him out? But he got saved. He gave his heart to the Lord. The last time I saw that young man, he was a deacon in the Nazarene Church in Holton Heights in Holt, Alabama, serving God because he fell in love with him. It was worth getting hit to see somebody give their heart to God. And some of us need to wake up. You've got loved ones. It won't take that to get them in church, but somebody's got to love them. Somebody got to reach them. Somebody has got to let him anoint your head with an oil that'll reach to those that come. Stand with me all over the house. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Just hold your finger there. Next week we'll start back up for that. But I feel God moving in this house because there are people under the sound of my voice. You need to understand. God wants to put so much anointing on you, your cup will run over to everybody you pass. And they will feel his presence, his love. And you are the one that can reach them. Church, we keep talking about church growth. Simplistic thought. If everybody in this building brought somebody with them next week, we'd have twice as many people here. It's that simple. But sheep begat sheep. And you keep waiting on a shepherd to go get some sheep, bring it in the building. And it's time some of you woke up and realized you're the one that's got to bring the people in. I'm going to bring in as many as I can because that's my obligation as a member of this church and this body. But as a shepherd, I need you to help me reach people for his kingdom's sake because Jesus is coming back. He's coming for those that are looking for him. And I don't know about you, but I want some more people looking. I want more people in the crowd. I want to keep reaching folks till the trumpet sounds because that's what it's about. Seeing people saved and delivered. Last week at the camp meeting, I got back in my element. I may be your pastor, but I'm an evangelist. I saw people coming to the altar, giving their heart to God, getting filled with the Holy Ghost, people rededicating themselves. And my life just exploded with excitement. I want to see that happen here. I want people this community say can't get saved in these altars, just like they saw in Buell when the group of us that came through in the early 70s and fell in an altar and got saved and became preachers and gospel men of God. That people in that community threw their hands up and said, oh, there's no hope for any of them. And yet every one of us just about it became preachers and became winners of souls. Because somebody cared enough to love us. And I believe with all my heart, God wants to send an anointing in this church to shake this community. But unless we take it to them, it'll never happen. But if we'll let it happen, we can change lives. One heart at a time, we can see God do something. Father, we thank you today for your love. Love, God, that was poured out at Calvary when you literally poured out your own heart for us, that we, through that blood, could have everlasting life. And then as that blood passes into us through to others, they could find the salvation grace that we found in you. God, help us. In Jesus' precious name, help us, Lord. In Jesus' name.